Welcome to the Scare Trap Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of ScareTrack, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming. Spoiler alert, freaking awesome.
That's the loudest I've heard you scream in a very long time. The
quality of the set was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey and today's episode is an interview episode with Boston White. I'll also have Hannah joining us in that interview as well. If you're not too sure, Boston, she knows all things scare and horror. She has a YouTube channel where she does lots of Halloween Horror Nights video announcements. She does some cosplay, dressing up on there as well as your favourite icon. So definitely go and check that out. She has multiple podcasts she's hosts on, the Halloween Half Hour, her new baby that she absolutely loves, so go over and check out that podcast right after you listen to this. She's been on Universal After Dark for a number of years as well now, so loads of stuff from Boston White, and we thought it was the perfect opportunity whilst we're all stuck at home in this blooming lockdown to get her on to the Scare Trap Podcast. So without any further ado, it's myself and Hannah interviewing Boston White.
You're listening to Scare Trap.
Hi guys and welcome back to this Scare Track podcast episode. As I said in the intro, I am here with Hannah and we are interviewing today Boston White. Boston, how's it going?
I have got such cabin fever from this quarantine time.
We're now actually finally living a horror movie, aren't we?
We are, and I don't like it, I've decided.
Yeah, it's not good. If there were some zombies about, it
There's
could...
too many windows in my house. We would not survive here.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I've been saying.
Yeah, we'd be screwed. But at least we have the form of podcast and YouTube to get us through.
That is true. Podcast and social distancing.
Yes, exactly. It's a win-win situation. So we thought, what a perfect opportunity whilst everyone's stuck indoors. We've already done like our big Scare Track comeback with loads of episodes going out the last few weeks, but now we know we're going to be stuck indoors for a fair few next weeks. Let's get some more people on. And we've wanted to speak to you for quite a while. Obviously, we met you at Pasajes del Terror when they did their press night as well, their media event. But you've loved horror. Well, how long have you loved horror? What really got you into it when you were... Was it recently? Was it when you were really young?
Honestly, it has been since I was a baby.
Wow.
And I know that everyone's always like, oh, yeah, like, I like this band since I was little, or I like this since I was little, but I have loved horror and weird stuff for my entire life. So when... for the theme park people out there... I've been going to Universal Studios since I was two, and
we are so jealous.
I went every single year since I was a tiny baby, and we've got a home video because we were vlogging before vlogging was a thing in my house. Of we sat watching Beetlejuice's Graveyard Review, and I was just so, like, entranced by it, like, even as a baby. But then every year that we'd go after, I was obsessed with the classic monsters and I was obsessed with Beetlejuice. And then, obviously, as I got older, I wanted to learn more about them. But I think the thing that really, really, really got me into horror in general outside of a theme park was, weirdly, Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Elaborate.
So I was like super, super, super obsessed with Michael Jackson when I was little. Like, I'd have Michael Jackson birthday cakes, like my fifth birthday, like obsessed. But I used to watch the making of Thriller.
Oh, okay.
Every single day. Like, you know, when a kid is obsessed with something like Moana or whatever.
You were obsessed with Thriller.
was my thing. So I used to sit and be like, John Landis, who is John Landis? Rick Baker, who is Rick Baker? And then I'd learn about them. And then so then I'd learn about other things that they did, and I'd want to watch that stuff. And then Scream came out when I was like, I want to say 7.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad let me watch it when he rented it.
See, that sounds like your parents, Hannah. Watching Hellraiser when you were 6. Madness.
But I think like it just spiraled from there. So I think it's just always been something that I've been into. And I've just never really let it go. And then obviously when you're getting older, you're going through like your goth phase. I never left my goth phase. I'm still in it.
It's a good phase to be in.
Wear the best clothes.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I think like I've just kept with what I've always liked my entire life. And obviously you branch out into different kind of subsections of horror, things like your haunted attractions or your foreign films or even music.
Yeah, yeah. There's just so many different places you can go when it comes to the horror genre. And you mentioned that, first of all, we're both mega, mega jealous. Like, going to Universal so many times.
It was a once-in-a-lifetime adventure for us.
Yeah, we see it, and we're like, every time we start saving back, we're like, oh.
Since you were 2.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, we definitely, every time you go, I see all your updates on social media, and I'm so glad you're having an amazing time, but a little tiny bit of me hates you a bit. Because you're there and we're not. But you mentioned you've been going there for so many years from when you were younger, and that's kind of a way on how you got into horror. Is that how you got into Halloween Horror Nights as well, and how your basically your introduction to haunted attractions?
Yeah, so we've always went to Universe like the same time every year, and so we started going back in 1992, so obviously that's the year after Halloween Horror Nights started. And every year I'd be like, what is that? Like, I really want to go to that. And my mom and dad are like, no, like, not going, like, not happening. And I'm like, please. And like, no, 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 no. And then when I was about 11, yeah, I must have been about 11. I think it was like 2001 or 2002. They let me go, finally, to Halloween Horror Nights. And I was freaking obsessed with it. I was like, this is absolute me. This is like the most me place I've ever been to. It's so cool. It's so interesting. It's everything that I like. And then I've never stopped going to Halloween Horror Nights since then.
Fair play. Fair play. We've only been to one Halloween Horror Nights, but it was amazing. So I can see why you want to go back again and again and again. And it's always at Universal Orlando as well. Have you not gone to any other Horror Nights, or is that always your, like, you think you can't go anywhere else because that's your home now? That's your home turf.
Yeah, I feel like Orlando's definitely like my home park, my home Halloween event. Every year I say that I'm going to go over to Hollywood, and then we can never work the schedule out. But then last year we'd planned for me to go to a media event in Hollywood because Chris wasn't going to be able to make it.
Right.
But it was going to just cost too much money to change my Orlando flights to make it work that we were like, oh, can't happen again.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it, is money. It just gets so expensive, and lots of things add up when you want to go to Halloween Horror Nights, you want to go on multiple nights, you want to do RIP stuff, and
you've got to buy a cup.
Exactly, but I think because in Orlando I have an annual pass, so that just like automatically refreshes every year for me, so I take that cost out of it. And then obviously you get discounts on things in the park and things like that as well. But then when you consider going over to somewhere like Hollywood, you've then got to plan where you're going to stay.
Of course, yeah,
the parks, then factor in your day ticket because you're going to want to go to the park in the day, your event ticket, and then it's like 2 entire holidays that you have to save for then.
Yeah, it all just keeps adding up, doesn't it? Definitely. It does.
And it's a timing thing as well, because I like to go to Orlando for like 2 to 3 weeks, like ideally 3. But that's like my limit of time off work that I can have in one go.
Yes, of course.
So you'd have to then sacrifice Orlando time, and when you've saved up all year, you want to go to Disney.
Of course,
Universal, you want to do all the haunted attractions, and it's just trying to fit it in.
Yeah, and there's just so much in Orlando, isn't there? It is such a hub for theme parks and attractions and water parks.
2 weeks at least.
Yeah,
minimum,
definitely.
And that's not even to fit it all in.
Yeah, yeah. So there's always loads to do. Over your years of obviously visiting Halloween Horror Nights, you've been going for a number of years now. Is there anything that really jumps out at you as maybe one of your favourite houses, your favourite years, favourite icons?
Yeah, so I super loved my first year. So there was a house called Scream House,
mm-hmm.
which was an original character called the Caretaker.
Yeah.
And it was his, like, mortuary. And it was, like, I love, like, gothic kind of set. Like, I love sets. Mm-hmm. I love any kind of, like, prop making. I love any kind of special effects. Like, that's what I'm focused on when I'm going through houses.
Yeah.
But I love any kind of gothic design. I love any kind of, like, cemetery setting. And that house is, like, just ingrained in my brain as my ultimate favourite.
And that was from your first year?
That was from my first year.
Wait, you know, they've started at the top, aren't they? So they got you. That's tough to beat that one. But I suppose an element of nostalgia is there as well now for that. Like, that's just such an awesome memory to have.
Exactly. But there was a house last year called Graveyard Games, which had a kind of similar-ish kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
They've got a couple of different ones that are quite similar over the years, but that's my favourite kind of house. I love original houses.
Mm.
I obviously love IP houses too.
Well, that was going to be my next question, actually. Do you prefer IP or originals?
I think I really appreciate IP houses because I like to be immersed in the settings from a film or a TV show that I really like, especially if I'm, like, a big fan of it, like Stranger Things. Being able to walk through the sets of Stranger Things was amazing,
yeah,
or Poltergeist. But I think because I'm a creative person and because I do like to see the designs more than anything, like, obviously I'm there to get scared too, but I'm looking at the art and I'm focusing on the story, I prefer the original because I don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah, something brand new, something different.
Exactly.
Definitely. And what I like about Orlando as well at Universal, there's a good mixture of both, so you can split it up nicely. And like you say, it's really good to be able to walk through these movies, but also, although you can get original houses elsewhere, it's great to see what the Universal team who make these IP houses can create with their own minds as well. It just, with the level of sets, the level of scares, it just makes for a fantastic overall event to have a little bit of both, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that the creative team that they have over at Universal are some of the absolute best in the game.
Oh, 100%.
But I think that they're the ultimate horror fans as well. Like, if you look at people like Mike Aiello and Charles Graham, Patrick Braylard, they are hardcore horror fans.
Yeah. And you can tell when it comes through to houses as well.
Oh, God, yeah.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Like, every time that you walk through one of those houses, you know that you're walking through their passion project. You can feel it. You can feel the hard work that's gone into it.
Yeah, absolutely. We loved it. We, like we say, we went for 3 nights. We went during the year of Chance. So it was 2016.
We went for 3 nights. We lost a night because of Hurricane Matthew.
Yes, we did lose a night. But
lockdown.
Yeah, that was cabin fever in the hotel. I don't know how we're going to last the next few weeks.
So, it was so great, and you can tell the detail in the creators and how they are sort of movie fanatics. There was one we went through, I want to say Ghost Town, but I don't think that's what it was called.
I think it was Ghost
Town. Was it?
Oh my
God, I've really impressed myself there by knowing that name. And when you went in at the start, you saw like two actors get shot, and then as you went through, you saw their dismembered bodies at like different stages of rotting away.
Yes.
And it's just the beauty that you don't really see anywhere else of the story that you wouldn't necessarily see.
Yes.
And I think that's what I love most about Universal. Oh, I went off on a tangent then.
No, it's good though. You're good at noticing those little things.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. It was a great year. And in fact, it sort of nicely ties everything together here, because you mentioned earlier that you're quite a creative person as well. Obviously, you got into haunts and scary attractions through Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Orlando from going for so many years. But I actually found your YouTube channel and found yourself by researching all this stuff for Universal Orlando, because we were planning our holiday, and of course it was the year of chance, and you are quite into your sort of cosplaying and fancy dress, and like you say, you're a very creative person as well over onto YouTube, and I saw Chance on your YouTube channel. You created Chance, you've created lots of different characters. How did you get into the costume making, the makeup, and all the stuff you do over on your YouTube channel?
I think that Chance video is probably actually the most popular video on my channel.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
No, actually, I think I have a video called How Does Hex Work at Alton Towers, and I literally only... That was a clickbait.
Right.
Because it was one of my first ever videos, and I literally say one line in the video where I'm like, how does hex work? And it's got thousands and thousands and thousands of views, and then people comment, like, you didn't even explain how hex works.
Whoops.
But the Chance one, I absolutely loved that year, and I think I don't know what it is about my personality, but I'm always like, I'm going to teach myself how to do this, or I'm going to teach myself how to do that. So because I loved, like, going back to what we were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. Rick Baker and people like Tom Savini, I've always been super interested in art and makeup and special effects, and I'd sit on my couch like, I'm never going to do this in my life, but I'm so interested in what they're doing. And my plan was to go to a makeup school, but I ended up taking a different career path after I left school, and ended up being a teacher instead of that time. So that went on hold, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna teach myself how to do stuff. So I taught myself how to sew, I taught myself how to apply theatrical makeup, and then I was like, okay, no one really does like Halloween Horror Nights announcement videos right now.
Yeah, true.
So I'll just start making them. So I started doing them in like 2015, mm-hmm. and nobody watched them because nobody did it. And then they started gaining a little bit more traction in 2016. And I was like, okay, what if I just start recreating makeups and making costumes? So you'll know yourselves that once you're in the theme park kind of community, you learn about things that are going to be coming to the theme park before it's announced to the general public.
Of course.
So obviously we knew that Chance was going to be the icon before it was announced. I was like, right, okay, we're going to apply all this makeup to my face. I'm going to be both versions of Chance. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to make a costume. And then it just kind of kicked off from there. And then every year I just started making the costumes for whatever was going to be announced, and people liked it.
Yeah, definitely. And it works. It just brings another element to... I mean, now, sort of like 4 or 5 years on, more YouTubers announce things, and podcasters, as well as obviously the parks in the UK. You're a member of some of the podcasts, but there's loads popping up nowadays. But back then, like I say, that when I started typing in Chance Halloween Horror Nights, yours was one of the first things that popped up, because no one was doing it. And not only was it just a boring person looking at the camera like I would be, it's someone who's dressed up and doing a whole theatrical performance as well. So it just gives it another layer, as Hannah nicely says. They were great, and it was also good because it was visually impressive as well, but people would get the info. Like, the reason I was researching stuff like that was trying to get as much information as I could so I know what to do on my holiday, and you were there giving the information out as well. So it was a perfect sort of perfect sort of platform to let people know what's happening at Halloween Horror Nights.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, it's good. And you do a few other things as well. You do sort of vlog style stuff over on your YouTube as well.
Yeah, so every year that I go, like, I've always done it anyway, like I said before, like, my family have always recorded our Holidays to Florida. So I always recorded them, and I've just got like probably the last 28 years worth of holidays I have somewhere.
Wow.
And then when people like the Tim Tracker started popping up, and there's a guy called Charles Trippy who has done the longest running amount of vlogs, and him and Tim Tracker kind of came out around a similarish time.
Right,
so I used to watch Tim Tracker before he did theme park stuff, because I found him through Charles Trippy. And I was like, okay, what if I just record my holidays as usual and then I just put them on YouTube? So I did that, and obviously, again, nobody really watched them because I was like, we're here to watch Smosh. What's the vlog?
Right, fair enough.
So they all got deleted. But then, yeah, more people started doing kind of theme park vlogs, and I was like, I'm just going to do it, but I'll put more effort into, like, talking to the camera rather than just...
just visuals of the park, like...
Yeah, exactly. So I still have last year's. I haven't started editing yet. I'm bad. I'm a bad vlogger. I apologise.
Well, at least you've got time in quarantine to do it now.
I feel like I watched it all on your Insta stories anyway.
Yeah. But, you sort of vlog on Instagram anyway, I guess.
Yeah. Like, and I think that's the hard thing now as well, is that because you've got things like Instagram, you're kind of filming for that so that people are updated on what's going on in the park at the time and what you're doing, and then you're vlogging on your camera as well, and then you're trying to also do stuff.
Yeah, and it gets a bit intense.
I feel like it's a massively hard life between portrait for Insta and landscape for YouTube.
Yeah,
I constantly get it wrong.
Yeah. So you can't just film on one thing either and kind of just split it between the two things. They have to be filmed separately. So there'd be some times when I'd be stood watching something and I'd have my phone portrait in one hand and my camera on a stick in the other hand, and I'm like, I don't even know what's going on. I haven't watched any of this.
Yeah, I haven't even watched it. Yeah. It's like that when, I mean, we're not proper vloggers as such, but we do little scare cam videos just to give people the raw footage of an event. But I find sometimes that I can be at a park, I'm trying to film stuff for that, I'm trying to record a full podcast, I'm trying to update Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat and Facebook.
We're also trying to essentially have what is our only day off together that week.
Yeah, we're actually trying to enjoy each other's company. And it just becomes overwhelming, doesn't it?
And now I'm doing beer blogs.
Yeah.
Like, gosh. Oh, I need to be pissed all the time. No, I'm joking.
I feel like the only kind of thing that keeps me doing it at Universal specifically is that because I've been going for such a long time, I've done everything so many times that I'm not really missing out on doing things necessarily. Like, obviously I'm there on holiday, but I've done those things a whole bunch of times. But I went to Busch Gardens for the first time in about 10 years last year to go and do their Halloween event.
Oh, Halloween Scream. And
trying to film stuff, but then I'm like, I've literally never been to this event, so I kind of want to enjoy it. And it actually ended up being terrible and I left.
You know what? Because that was last year, did you say?
Yeah.
I heard nothing but bad stuff about that year.
Such a good year. Whereas 2016.
We went in 2016, and it was one of the best events we've ever been to. Genuinely was.
Honestly, I don't know whether it was just like an off year for them, because all I ever hear is amazing stuff.
Yeah.
I heard nothing but rubbish for last year. So I think they were just having an off year. I don't know whether something's changed.
You don't know, do you? You don't know.
But hopefully it'll be back up for when we can afford it in a million years' time.
Hopefully, yeah. Is that put you off visiting there again? Would you go back?
Because I didn't even necessarily feel like it was entirely the event in itself. I don't know. I feel like maybe I'm used to being in the Universal bubble where, like, I feel safe in it and
no one's
gonna do anything bad to me on there. But from the second that I walked into the park, people were pushing me, like, I was afraid that I was gonna be mugged at one point.
Gosh.
And I was like, I don't feel safe at all. And I don't know. It was just like a bad vibe that I had the entire time.
Yeah, and no, that's fair enough.
There was no wait times for lines.
Right, oh no, of course, yeah. There's no actual wait. Did they have them? They didn't have them there, did they? No. Yeah. That's the point. That really does make or break a night, really, doesn't it?
Exactly. So I'm like, I don't know what any of these houses... I know they use a lot of repeat houses. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I obviously don't know what any of these are, so I need to do all of them. And I know that if I go to Halloween Horror Nights, I can do all 10 houses in one night.
Yeah, yeah. Because you know which one to go to when, if you do Rush
exactly.
of Fear, or you do certain, you know, Stay and Screams. And you, it's weird similar, because we go to Traumatica at Europa Park every year, and we know, one, we're in our safe little bubble, we know what the storyline is, we know exactly where everything is. So similar.
And we know which way to go round the park on night one to hit the mazes, so we get them all in a good order.
Yeah.
And then night two, we do know to opposite. Go the other way, so we can have a more relaxed night.
Yeah.
Because
then
night three, we can hit them in the good order again. Yeah. We have a routine.
Yeah, and I guess you have a very similar sort of style when it comes to Halloween Horror Nights, that when you go to something else, especially if the event isn't as good as it could be or can be or has been, it just puts a bit of a bad taste in your mouth, doesn't it?
Exactly. So I think that we did maybe three houses, and then we ended up leaving. Like, I went... half the reason I even went was because I wanted to ride She-Ra in the dark.
Yes, yeah.
And we didn't even end up going on She-Ra. It was like the busiest that I've, well, that I can remember Busch Gardens even being in the daytime. It was really, really, really busy.
Oh, wow.
It was full of kids.
See, yeah, that just puts a bad vibe on it. We were genuinely really, really lucky. The day we went, the daytime, everything was walk on. And in the evening, although we had, I think we had like front of line passes, we managed to do every maze twice because we did them with that queue and then the normal queue.
Yeah.
So we were there,
and
it was dead.
People with us didn't do any rides because they didn't want to run round.
Yeah.
And only didn't run round the mazes with us. Do you remember? We left them.
That's because we are batshit crazy, and that park is huge, isn't it?
We ran from one end to the other in like 10 minutes
to make sure
we got onto the last maze for the second time.
Yeah, yeah, a bit too intense. So it's a shame that you sort of had a bad time there, but I suppose at least, you know, you do that for the one night, and I'm guessing you do Halloween Horror Nights multiple nights during your visit?
Yeah, I usually do Halloween Horror Nights every night that it's on, that I'm there for. So if I'm there for 3 weeks... I'll usually do like probably 11 nights.
Wow. We need to holiday with you. Yeah.
It's intense. You've got to stay at Halloween Horror Nights till 2 in the morning and then go up at 7 and go to Disney.
Yeah, that's exactly what we did. Yeah, it killed us. It does kill you. You come back needing a holiday.
Especially if you're hungover.
Yeah. Good point. Awesome, awesome. So obviously you sort of covered the Halloween Horror Nights and how you got into horror, moving over to your YouTube channel as well. But do you do anything? You say you've always been into horror and dark stuff ever since a child. Do you look into the more real lifestyle stuff, the paranormal stuff?
Yeah. So my big private, I share it sometimes. Hobby is ghost hunting. So
right, okay.
I love history. I love things like castles. I love any kind of ghost story, real or fake. I'll investigate it. I don't care. where that's potentially haunted, I will go to. So if I'm ever going to any different city, I'll always research first, like, top 10 haunted places in Nottingham.
Wow, okay.
I'll have I'll have, like, an EMF reader.
Oh, your proper most haunted style.
Like, I have to investigate every place that I go to.
Have you found anything?
Like, there's been times when, you know, like, if you're using things like crystals and, like, dowsing rods and stuff and the EMF reader, where you'll pick up on things. And if you film stuff, I think I've only ever put, like, maybe 2 or 3 videos of, like, ghost adventuring on YouTube, but I record everyone that I go to, and you'll see things in some of the videos, and you're like 100% a ghost, but then you're like, was it?
Oh, so you never know, it could be.
That's it, exactly. But I think that's something that I'm super, super interested in. I went to do a paranormal workshop a few months ago.
Right.
Where they kind of guided through using things like spirit boxes. I had to do a Ouija board in front of an entire audience.
Oh, that would scare me, that one.
I was like, yeah. And everyone's like, no, we're okay. So I'm like on my own doing this Ouija board, like, hey guys. But I'm super interested in that anyway. And I think even if I didn't love horror as much as I do, I think I'd still be incredibly into that side of things because I just find it so interesting. Like, even if it's just an abandoned building, I want to know this building story.
Right, okay. So you kind of got one of those personalities where you want to know more and more and more about each and everything, and horror seems to be, like I say, there's a broad sort of thing with horror. It can be either fake horror, real horror, ghosts, theatrical stuff, and you've just got that passion for anything dark and spooky.
I'm just a weird kid.
Wait, nothing wrong. Well, you said it, not me. You said it. No. See, when it comes to ghost hunting, Hannah, you don't believe in ghosts, do you?
I don't. And I think it's because I've never had a reason to.
Whereas I, hell do I believe in ghosts, because I've had enough reasons to. I definitely believe in ghosts. And which is, but I'm the opposite to you, Boston. I believe in ghosts and I know about ghosts. And if there's anything scary, I want to stay hell away from it because I will not sleep. Literally, I don't even watch scary films.
What?
Hannah's, yeah, I will watch them.
Oh, our isolation together at the moment is separated in the fact that Hannah wants to watch a horror. Okay, Marky will go watch a vlog. Like,
yeah.
We've had to separate.
I'm too much of a wuss.
I'm so sick of watching comedy.
All right, we'll watch a horror. But yeah, anyway.
So it's the person that's just downloaded Disney Plus.
Yeah, that's got me out of the horrors for a little bit. But yeah, so, I mean, I've done a few ghost hunts and that, and they are terrifying. But is it the fact that they get you scared that you enjoy, or is it purely just wanting to know the history of things?
I think it's a mixture of both of them. Like, I think I just like to know stuff anyway, but I think I am an adrenaline junkie at all times. Like, whether it's a roller coaster or a real ghost or a haunted attraction, like, I just like to be scared. And I think if you're in a theme park setting, you're a safe scared. If you're watching a horror film, you're a safe scared. If you are walking through an abandoned building by yourself with an EMF detector, that's real danger.
Yeah, I'll stick to the safe scared for now. Thanks.
There's a house in Pontefract, and it's called the Pontefract Poltergeist House, and you can literally pay for like a group of people to stay there. It's like one of the most popular poltergeist haunted places in the UK, and I'm like, I'm just so down, but none of my friends want to go with me. And I'm like, okay, if I'm there by myself, then that is like, if I die, no one's gonna know, so I can't do it by myself.
See, that's one of the things where you would pay good money to go and do it, and I would have to be paid very good money to go do it. That's definitely not something that I'll stick at home and make a podcast.
Each to their own, though. You've paid money to do extreme events.
That's a good point. Yeah, yeah. Before we move on to our last point, Boston. Obviously, we want to talk a little bit about the podcast that you do. We've spoken mainly about the stuff over the pond, and obviously your more realistic horror ghost tour stuff. But is there much stuff that you do here in the UK when it comes to Halloween as well, or have you done any of the extreme stuff, or is it mainly that you're always over in Orlando?
That's the hard thing about it, is that because I'm always away for 3 weeks, and in the UK, our haunted stuff doesn't really start until October.
Yeah,
for the moment.
And that's when you're over in America.
Exactly, and it's when I'm away, so it's hard for me to be able to get to things. And then obviously I'm using 3 weeks worth of holidays to go to it. If I want to go anywhere that's outside of like Liverpool or Manchester, I'm gonna have to take the day off work because they start early.
Of course. Yeah,
so it's hard for me to get to them. I've been to things like obviously Blackpool, Pleasure Beach. Like, I go to Blackpool in the summer probably once a week anyway. I love Blackpool. I've been to a couple of other like local ones in Liverpool, but I would like
Farmageddon.
Yeah, Farmageddon, There's a couple of different ones in like around Lancashire ways. I don't even know if they still do them anymore because I only moved back down this way last year. But
right, I see.
There's quite a few that would like to do, but it's just trying to time it. I would love to do some extreme ones, but I really want to do the extreme ones in America.
Oh gosh, now
it's too much.
That's enough to give you nightmares anyway.
I was supposed to be doing an extreme thing in April, and it's the only good thing about this whole coronavirus situation is that I don't have to do that now.
How extreme are we talking?
This one isn't too extreme. I'd say
they hang you over a cliff. What are you saying?
Oh, that's extreme.
That's a good point. I was hung over a cliff. Yeah. There's lots of different things. There's obviously the likes of Scream Camp now, which is where I was hung over the cliff. There's Cracked. Their last one's going ahead next year now, where they basically gag you, tag you, put you in the back of a lorry and take you to an unknown location and
make you eat stuff
and waterboard you. And have you done anything extreme before, Boston, or is it just something that you might want to do in the future?
I've never done an extreme one. It's just always been like a curiosity. But there was an event called Dark Horizon, which is owned by the same people that do the Queen Mary.
Yes.
It opened in Orlando last year, and they were going to have a separate ticketed thing for extreme. So you'd get a little lanyard, and then they could like touch you and grab you and like move you away from your group and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, that will be a good like taster for me.
Yeah, definitely.
But then because of the storms, they didn't end up starting the event until after I'd gone home.
Oh, that's such a shame.
Oh, I was gutted. So that's why I went instead.
Well, if you want to hear all about it, we did an episode about that with Dan and Jess from UK Haunters because they visited. So if you want to hear how good or bad it was, then listen to that, Boston. just to rub it in a little
bit.
Sorry.
Because you're based in Liverpool, aren't you? Am I right there? Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
Am I right? I can't believe you didn't do Ghoulies Haunted House.
Well, I was living away when they opened, and then I came back for a weekend, not last December, the December before, and found out about it. And I was like, right, okay, we're going right out. We will go to Ghoulies first. And they closed at, like, 10 o'clock.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, like, it's at 12 o'clock on Facebook, but okay. And then when I came back and I moved back, I was like, right, okay, definitely need to go to Ghoulies now. And then they closed down.
That's such a bummer.
I know. Yeah. I was absolutely gutted because we'd been messaging them. Well, Craig from my other podcast was messaging, and they were like, yeah, we can totally like figure something out. Like, let us know when you guys want to come. But I could never get back to Liverpool on the days that they wanted.
Right.
And then it just never worked out. But I know they did a Halloween event in Liverpool last year.
Yeah.
I think they did it as like a partnership with somebody. So I was staying in the Adelphi for Halloween because that's like a super haunted hotel in Liverpool.
Nice.
And it was amazing. But they were doing an event at Grand Central, which sounded cool. We did plan to go to, but we didn't end up going to it in the end. But that was to raise money for them to open up again, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've not heard anything yet. Well, now is the worst time to do anything because of the spooky corona. But it'd be great.
Don't open anything now. It's bad.
Yeah. But it would be great if they could open again. We had some fantastic times at Ghoulies Haunted House. Again, that was something that I wouldn't call extreme, but it was more intense.
I loved the bar.
It is a really... Actually, yeah, you would have loved it. It's such a cool horror bar.
It was so cool. The barmaids were dressed up as horror characters. They had horror themed cocktails, horror movies in the background. It was cool.
Yeah,
I loved it.
It was cool. It's a shame it was short lived.
Yes,
but anyway, moving on then, let's talk about what we're all in a similar game here when it comes to podcasts, and you're in a couple of podcasts, but obviously you started off with Universal After Dark.
Yes, so I joined Diz After Dark in the beginning. And was like, okay, I love talking about Disney and stuff, but like I super love Universal, so like kind of want to talk about Universal. And then we'd have like a segment every so often for that. And then we ended up branching out and doing Universal After Dark in its own feed. And then that kind of kicked off from there. But I love, absolutely love podcasting. Like, I think podcasting is my favourite thing that I do.
Really? Okay. Is that just because you can sort of give... It's, I like it because it's sort of like an escapism for me. I can say absolutely anything I want, and if people enjoy it, they do. If they don't, well, oh well, screw them. Is it the best way that you find to sort of show people your passion for what you enjoy?
Yeah, I think so, because I think when I'm doing the YouTube stuff, like if I'm doing a vlog, there'll be so much information that you can give because you're trying to show stuff at the same time.
Yeah.
And then I think when I'm doing the Halloween Horror Nights announcements, obviously if you're making a video an hour long because you're trying to cover every kind of thing in it, no one's going to watch it. So you need to kind of condense everything.
Yeah.
But I think when you're doing a podcast, you set out your topics, you know what you're going to talk about, and I think podcasts are just nice and easy to listen to. You can listen to them in the car. You can listen to them while you're doing a workout. You can...
Of course.
Podcasts are so easily accessible, and it's such easily digestible information.
Yeah.
I just love podcasting.
Yeah. Well, similar with this, like our scare cam stuff. We don't want to be main scare vloggers or anything. We keep that to like a 5 to 10 minutes, and then these episodes can be, you know, half hour to an hour. So it is good. It's a good way to get sort of thoughts and reviews and announcements out there. What if anyone who's listening to this Scare Trap podcast now who hasn't heard of anything from Universal After Dark, what kind of show, obviously it's about Universal, but what kind of podcast is it? What sort of topics do you cover? I know you sometimes will have a good drink while you're doing it. What sort of thing, what sort of podcast is Universal After Dark?
So, we're for an adult audience. We do a lot of swearing.
We like a bit of swearing.
We do a lot of drinking. So, we tend to do news, but then we like to do kind of deep dives into certain subjects. So, it might be staying on site for one episode.
Yeah.
It might be the basics of an annual pass, because a lot of the time people who'll go over for maybe more than 2 weeks won't know that it's actually cheaper for them to get an annual pass.
Of course, yeah. Good point.
So we tend to do deep dives on planning, and then we do an awful lot of Halloween Horror Nights coverage.
Yeah.
Because Halloween Horror Nights announcement season tends to start around April.
Yeah, very early.
So that's almost an entire year worth of content.
Yeah, although there was one year, was it not year last year, the year before, that they waited really, really late to just let people know loads of information? Was it
the
year before last, was it?
We always think that that's what they're doing, but then, like, Chris, who's my co-host on Universal After Dark and on the Halloween Half Hour, writes the unofficial guides for Halloween Horror Night.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at his dates for releases, they're always very, very similar.
Really? Okay.
So, but I thought the exact same thing, and it was last year, I think, when I was like, this is ridiculous. I can't believe they're doing this to us. And then he sent me a little file over, and I was like, oh, yeah. Just me being in pain.
Yeah, because he knows his stuff inside and out as well, doesn't he?
That's it. But then years ago, the way that Halloween Horror Nights announcements used to be was that they'd have these super interactive websites.
Yeah.
And you'd have to kind of unravel a story, and then everything would just get announced at one time.
Right. Oh, I see.
So it's only been probably, I want to say, the last maybe 9 or 10 years, if that it's been the way that it is now.
Right. I see. A little bit different, definitely. And is... Do you get mega excited for the announcements? I'm guessing you enjoy finding out what's going to come next. Do you enjoy the scare zones? They seem to announce all the scare zones all in one day. Is that quite an exciting day to find out the kind of atmosphere you're going to get around park?
Yeah, for sure. I love announcement season. I think now that we're more into doing the podcasts, like we said before, you kind of find out things before they get announced to the general public, so that kind of takes a little bit away from it.
Right, yeah, of course. So it's both a hindrance, yet
a blessing and a curse
in the same instance, isn't it?
Exactly. But I love trying to work out like how they're going to do things. Like when they announced they were going to do a Poltergeist house a few years ago, I was like, how the hell are they going to do a Poltergeist house? Like that's impossible. And then they did an announcement before the event started. They did like a roundtable with the creative and they were like, okay, so we're going to start the house at the end of the film. Smart. And then we're going to make our own kind of story after it. So it's going to be like half IP, half original. And I was like, that'll never work. It's going to be ridiculous. But still have faith in them because I love them. And I'm sure it's going to be amazing. But I just don't understand it. And then when I got there, I was like, wow, it was intense. And even things like The Exorcist. Like you look at The Exorcist and you think, how are you going to make an entire house out of that?
That's a good point. Yeah, well, that's one that we visited. I saw some clips of the Poltergeist one, which looked awesome. And again, very jealous of you getting to go. But yeah, we did the Exorcist house. And that was another one that you noticed random things, like you noticed the stairs on the wall.
Yeah, there was a whole room that was dedicated to stairs, which was meant to sort of make you feel like you were falling down the stairs, like the priest does in The Exorcist. And you didn't even notice that room was there.
I came out
and I was like, oh, did you see the room with the stairs? And you were like, what?
Yeah, no, that was a really, really good house. That was good. And the smell in those rooms.
Oh, yeah. It's bad.
Yeah. But that's what I love about it, the fact that it's not just visual, it's not just sounds, it smells as well. It just makes for a whole bit of a theatre, doesn't it? But yeah, it's the whole package. Absolutely. awesome. So if people want to hear more about Universal, especially when it comes to Horror Nights, they should definitely listen to Universal After Dark, especially if you don't mind a bit of swearing. But if you listen to us, then you don't mind swearing at all.
What?
I was waiting for you to swear. Shit, bugger, balls. Right. and then obviously you've got another podcast out as well now, which is the Halloween Half Hour. How would you describe that in a nutshell to all our listeners?
The Halloween Half Hour is my baby. So this has been like my dream to do since I was little. So all that I ever used to think is that I wanted to be Elvira.
Right.
To host something horror related, and I wanted to be able to like talk about horror films and interview people. And then me and Chris had been planning for probably about a year and a half that we were going to do it, and we were like, I don't know if it's going to work, I don't know if people will be interested in it. And now I'm absolutely living the dream, getting to speak to and interview and email people who are like my absolute idols.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Yeah. Literally, we interviewed him for a Friday the 13th special, and I'm like, I am on the phone to Kane Hodder, ringing his house phone.
That is mad, isn't it?
It's no big deal.
That's so cool, though. Like you say, that you can tell it's your baby. It's something that you're mega proud of and enjoy doing. It's got to be quite surreal as well. Like you say, when you're doing Friday the 13th and you're speaking to Kane Hodder, it's got to be quite surreal. Do you have to pinch yourself sometimes?
Absolutely. Like there's some guests that we've had on there. So basically what we do is we have a guest on who's either an actor or a director or something to do with a horror film or TV show, and then we'll do like news topics and we'll do like stories and trip reports and stuff. And we had Linnea Quigley, and Linnea Quigley is one of my absolute horror icons. So she is the original Scream Queen. And I've been obsessed with her since I was little, because watching all of her like B movies when I was growing up, I was like, I can't. She was on my bucket list. And basically I sent Chris a list of people that I would like die over if we could interview them. And I thought we'd maybe get one or two of them. And pretty much everyone on the list that we've either interviewed or is like confirmed for an interview. So I'm dead.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But having her, I was just like, I can't believe that this is happening. I was freaking out before she answered the phone. And then I'm like, I don't think I can do this.
It gets nerve-wracking, doesn't it? Absolutely.
It does. And then poor Chris was like, she picked up the phone and Chris was like, before we start anything, I just really need to tell you that Amanda's nervous. And I was like, I'm fine.
Don't listen to him. I'm fine. No, it's fine.
I'm cool.
But it is nerve-wracking, definitely. I mean, sometimes there's people who that we interview on here who...
You say we. I'm not allowed on these interviews.
Yes, you are.
I'm not.
You're never here. Now you're in quarantine. I've got you. I've locked you down.
Now you can have a choice.
But yeah, it's scary to sometimes if you don't know these people and they're highly regarded and whatnot. You're sort of like, oh gosh, it's a bit nerve wracking because you wouldn't just talk to anyone that you didn't know on the phone for an hour, would you? Exactly. You got to make sure it's all interesting and people want to listen. But it's pretty damn cool that you're getting to. One, live out your dream with talking to these actors, actresses, and so on in a podcast form, which again you say is your sort of favourite sort of platform to perform on.
Absolutely, I just think like people could take away anything else that I do. Like they could take away YouTube, I'd be sad about it. They could take away making costumes, I'd be sad about that too. But I would never want to lose podcasting, and especially the Halloween half hour. I think I've found exactly what I want to do, and if I could make a full-time living off of it, I would quit everything else and do it full-time and put out content for them every day. But I just absolutely love it. We did an interview with Joe Alves a couple of weeks ago, and he was a production designer on Jaws.
Wow.
So when they were making Jaws, obviously Steven Spielberg wasn't the seasoned director that he is now. So Joe Alves did quite a lot more work on that film than I think he gets credit for. But just hearing his stories, like he designed the sharks.
Right, okay, wow.
He went and scouted out Martha's Vineyard. Like listening to him tell his stories, I was like, is this real life? Like, is he telling me?
Is this real life?
Stories. And it was just insane. But every time that I do an interview, because my dad's really into horror as well, and my dad's like my number one biggest fan. Oh, like bless. He will bless. Message me every single week and be like, I've just listened to your podcast. I think I'm the first listener. Oh. And I'm like, oh. But I ring him every single time or I text him every single time that I've done an interview. And I'm like, oh my God, Dad.
I just spoke to this guy and he's mega jealous.
Away.
Awesome. Oh, that sounds great. I'm so glad that you're now, you know, doing this, you're doing your passion, you're doing what you love. I think that's a perfect sort of way to sort of end this and let people know on how they can listen to the podcast that you're involved in, and obviously joining you on YouTube as well. You're on all the social medias, you're everywhere. So what's the best way? First of all, the Halloween half hour, that's your baby. What's the best way for people to listen to the Halloween half hour and follow you on the socials?
Yeah, so Halloween half hour, you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Anchor FM, all of your favorite podcast outlets. Just search the Halloween half hour. Universal After Dark, the same. And then on social media, I am Boston, like the city, right, like the colour, all one word. And that's on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And you can contact me on any of those platforms, and I'll talk all things horror with you.
Sounds good. Perfect. Loads of horror stuff here with Boston White. And what have you got planned? What's coming up next for Boston White? Obviously, I'm guessing a few spanners are in the works because of this whole coronavirus. I know a few things have affected me and Hannah, but have you got anything planned? I'm guessing it's back to Halloween Horror Nights this year.
I think, honestly, with how long they're saying that we're going to be quarantined for now, I think Halloween Horror Nights will actually be my next event. I'd planned to go to Prague next month, my birthday, to go to a little town just outside of Prague that has like a cathedral made entirely of bones. And I was so excited about that, but I obviously can't go now.
Wow, that sounds pretty insane.
So like that's been on my bucket list to go to forever. And I was like, okay, I'm turning 30. I'm going to go to exactly where I wanted to go to. But I think if this all blows over, I'm going to try and make it out to California.
Nice.
Maybe September time, where I might be able to get a day at Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah, just a sneaky day in there.
Yeah, like hopefully I'll try my best to try and get one day. But I think I'm just going to go over for a week. I want to just go and do some kind of Hollywood mystery tours, and I want to go to the Museum of Death, and I just want to do some weird Hollywood.
Weird Hollywood. Sounds weird good to me. Again, we need to join you on some holidays, Boston. I'm getting so jealous. awesome. Yeah, unfortunately, it does seem to be that the next thing that we're looking forward to now is Halloween as well, because of this whole coronavirus palaver, but that means that there's no excuse for people to be on YouTube checking out all your stuff and also listening to the podcast of the Halloween Half Hour and Universal After Dark.
You've got the time.
But yeah, you've got the time, people. Have a listen. Make sure you subscribe, rate, comment, and all that palaver. Be sure to follow Boston on social media as well. I think that brings us to the perfect end, really. Boston White, thank you so, so much for coming on to Scare Track. It's been great having you, and we look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Yay!
You're listening to Scare Track.
So, there we go, guys. First of all, a huge thank you to Boston for coming on to the Scare Track podcast. Really, really do appreciate it. It's great to actually have her on, finally. We've been wanting to get her on for quite a while. And she's, of course, always busy with her YouTube channel, her multiple podcasts that she's on. Definitely go over there and support her. If you haven't supported her already, go and follow her on social media. Get listening to the Halloween Half Hour. Get listening to the Universal After Dark. Some quality content from there, along with her co-hosts as well. Really fun stuff coming for Boston White, especially when it comes to Halloween Horror Night. She's always giving us some fantastic content, especially with the reveal videos. And like I say, the first time I saw her was when she was dressed up as Chance from Halloween Horror Nights 26. It was really, really awesome. So go over and check out her YouTube channel as well. A huge thank you to you guys for listening to this episode of Scare Track. We're going to be bringing you as much fun as we can throughout these weeks where we're all stuck at home. It's a scary time in the world, but luckily we have the internet. We have Skype. We have loads of things that we can be doing. Disney Plus, just been downloaded. Hell yeah. So guys, let's all look after each other. Let's be kind to each other. Let's share each other's content. Let's just interact as much as we can to get us through these awkward, dark, weird times. So I think that brings us to the end of this podcast. Remember, you can join us over on our social media pages. Join us on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook. You can join us over there. We are also on Patreon, and we're doing a Patreon episode each and every month. You can also join us on our exclusive Patreon group chat over on Facebook as well. So just go to patreon.com/scaretrack and you can join us on there. And it really, really does help support the show, helps us keep going, helps paying those Podbean bills, and just helps us improve over time. So guys, thanks so much for listening, and we will see you on the next episode of Scare Track.